When I say risk, what do you think about? Is that jumping from an airplane? Snow skiing? Bungee jumping? Well, each of these is definitely a risk, but risk can be a whole lot more. Have you ever thought about the risk of going to work, opening or closing a building? Risk to yourself, risk to others. There are hundreds of these risks hidden in our everyday lives. And a great way to explore these is through the people who work to manage these risks every day. That's why we chose the name, Everyday Risk, to emphasize the hidden nature of these risks and speak with different experts on the ways we can manage them. Join me, Larry Pogue, and my co-host, Lucas Fonestill, as we talk with the best and brightest about their work, the risks they see, and how we might manage them. Hey, Lucas, it sounds like we have a really great show today with Brian Calori from FM Global talking about temporary shutdowns. Can you tell us a little bit about Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. Brian is a senior vice president and manager of engineering and research for FM Global. Been with the company for 40 years, so absolutely has a lot of knowledge in the industry and super excited to talk with him today.
You know, that sounds excellent. Let's go ahead and get started.
Brian, I just kind of want to start off with what are some of the things that you guys look for when a facility shuts down from a property loss control insurance perspective?
Sure. Lucas, first thing I want to say, I hope everybody who's listening to this is safe and sound and staying healthy. Obviously this was unexpected this spring. So before we talk about property, people are the first thing we all worry about. So hopefully everybody's staying healthy. It's interesting. You know, nobody anticipated this. Nobody anticipated facilities going idle or other changes happening in the industry. But what I find interesting is individually, none of these are items or changes of hazard that we didn't have standards for and don't know how to deal with. Same thing for idle facilities. There's no reason you can't keep the concept of majority of losses preventable, even when a plant is idle. You know, so I remember starting, you know, at a university in New Jersey back in 1979. And, you know, the country was coming out of, you know, a lot of civil unrest the 10 years earlier, and the economy wasn't doing well, and idle facilities, plant buildings going vacant was a big concern. And we've had standards since then really to address how to make sure that they can stay resilient, even though they're idle. It really starts in my mind, as I would say, doubling down on security and fire protection inspection and maintenance. It's making sure, you know, you have the people in place, because you think of it from an alarm perspective, you're losing a big component of, you know, your alarm system, the people that are typically in the building that, you know, we have electronic alarms all the time. And a lot of times it's people know something has gone wrong. So it's making sure you'd have security in the right place as buildings are either vacant or idle, whichever term you want to use, to make sure that security is there, that people, you know, that there can't be access from the outside, particularly if you're in a more urban environment, perhaps with people breaking in. And then really making sure the security protection systems are going to work. You know, if those valves haven't been locked open, this is a great time on your sprinkler system to make sure they're locked open. You know, so there's a lot of things you can do to really take control of your own destiny.
So, Brian, I like that regarding security. I think, you know, it all depends on if there's going to be staff still present, right? Or are we hiring a security company to do rounds? But I like that, you know, locking some of the doors or locking your doors and windows or making sure that your fences are still intact, locking your gates. Another part of that could be verifying your emergency contact information, right? Like who the security company is going to call should they have an alarm. So I do like getting security in act. And then same thing with the active fire protection systems. I think those are super key when your facility shut down.
Yeah, and Lucas, one of the things I think that people did not anticipate, I know I didn't, was getting in touch with the local authorities. You know, there's a lot of discussion now around credentialing people that have to go into facilities or making sure they have letters from their employers to make sure that the local authorities, whoever that may be, whether it's police, county, whoever, if they're stay in place or shutdown or lockdown orders, that the people that are going to handle security and going to handle maintenance at the idle facilities, that they're on the list of essential personnel so that they can actually get through.
Yeah, that's a great point. And these are a lot of things, to your point, that people aren't thinking about, right? We haven't experienced it before. And that's one of the reasons that this is new water for everybody, because we just haven't experienced this. So there's going to be a lot of the little gaps that are missed. And I think on a part of that, right, it's working with your local fire departments and your police departments as well, right? Notifying them, hey, our building, which was normally 24/7, is now, you know, going to be idle or temporarily shut down for a day, a week. You know, we don't know right now. And so having them do extra patrols in the area, or if the fire department gets called, letting them know that the staffing isn't going to potentially be there like it has in the past.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the other things I think people can think through that will be very powerful is the concept of safe shutdown practices, which is going to mean different things depending on what industry you're in. You know, if you're in a heavy equipment driven industry, you know, you have to really make sure you have the right practices in place as you, you know, shut down equipment, perhaps mothball equipment for a while so it doesn't get damaged. Or just housekeeping. Make sure the yard is cleaned up. You know, if that facility is counting on space separation for fire cutoffs to stop a maximum foreseeable loss, for example, make sure those areas are kept clean. Make perhaps, you know, shut fire doors if you can on a permanent basis. So it's under that safe shutdown concept is another thing when you're getting ready to go idle.
Yeah, and I think on the housekeeping, I think that's a big part, Brian, and I appreciate you bringing that up. It's, you know, making sure all the trash is empty, and exterior storage is something that a lot of people might not think about, is not only from a fire protection standpoint, but from a security standpoint. Is there anything outside that could or should be brought inside safely? Is there anything right next to the building that maybe needs to be pushed away from the building should it be a fire hazard? And ignitable liquids as well.
Exactly. Can you cut down on the storage, whether it be ignitable liquids or other combustible storage, perhaps while it's idle? You know, just to give some idea of like quantity of the exposure, FM Global on a global basis typically engineers around 68,000 facilities around the world. Right now, as of this morning, we've already had over 1,200 report that they've gone to an idle state. So that's over 2% of the facilities. We suspect that's probably going to level off closer to 1,500, 1,600. So I'm sure our experience isn't that much different than anybody else's. So it's a significant number of facilities that is actually occurring in.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. It's not just one or two, and we're seeing it, and I think it's just going to get bigger as we go on. I think that number is just going to increase. And I know that I've had some clients that have done it for a couple of days and then come back to work, and then went back on idle time for a couple of days and then come back. So I know we're going to be going in and out of it, and I think there's just a lot of things. There's a lot of things that the employer should be thinking about as they, you know, shut the facility down. So I think it's really important to go through some of these critical checklists. And I know you guys have put together some good documentation for that as well to really help your clients out throughout this change.
Yes, we have a series of materials both on our FM Global public website and our AFM public website. You know, one of which directly speaks to preparing for the pandemic at idle facilities and steps you can take at idle facilities, as well as information on a range of other industries that are being affected either positively or negatively by the pandemic. Because it's interesting, as much as, you know, the focus economically is on these facilities shutting down, there's industries that have ramped way up right now that have their own set of challenges.
Yeah, and I saw you guys have a good article on that, and that's the other end of the spectrum. That's absolutely right. There are companies that are having to increase, that are hiring, and it's a whole different set of rules and challenges that they're being presented for on the uptick compared to those that are being shut down. So yeah, absolutely a whole different side of story for that side of things.
Exactly. That could be the next podcast.
There you go. I like it. I like it. We're moving forward. One of the sayings that I have in my life, and I'm actually wearing a t-shirt right now that says it, is better than before. And so, Brian, tell us a little bit about companies or facilities, what they could do to better themselves, maybe from a maintenance standpoint during a shutdown or, an idle period like this.
Yeah, I think that's a great concept, Lucas. You know, it's obviously going to depend on the area you're in, what are the restrictions on people traveling or working or availability of contractors. But if you're shut down, this is a great opportunity. If you have preventative maintenance planned on equipment, if there were some projects related to improving the risk of the building and you can get contractors in now, this is a great time to do it. You know, you got to imagine, assuming they can get there through any government restrictions and, you know, it's a safe operation place to work, and contractors should be looking for work to, you know, projects to do right now. So depending on the industry, whether it's your people or whether it's outside people, it's a great opportunity to really prepare and make the facilities resilient for when they get back up and running.
And you make a great point, Brian. There's a lot of government rules, regulations, requirements that are out there, right? So there could potentially be limits to what you can do. But I definitely think now is that time to look into those things, right? I mean, one of the things that I thought about was potentially continuous improvement plans. Like if you wanted to get into a 5S or Kaizen, right, now might be the time to do it. Could you work with your team virtually to put a program in place, right? And then maybe, you know, have if there's somebody that could be on site that could start implementing something of that nature, right? Right, just good opportunities to think about those ways to be better, you know, while you're shut down, just to you know, always room to improve. And like I said, that's why I say better than before.
There's so much online training opportunities today, whether it be for people on your emergency brigade, whether it be people for preventative maintenance, operating boilers, whatever. If people are stuck at home, that could be a great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And continuing to talk about maintenance, I think some of the things that we don't want to forget is our programs that are in place. So electrical preventative maintenance programs, hot work permit programs, smoking policies, things like that. Brian, I think it's really key that our clients don't forget those are in place. And just because we're shut down, it's not the time to not implement that hot work permit program, or it's not the time to start losing track of maintenance orders. When we come back, you know, how are we going to track our maintenance items, right? How are we going to track that idle period? Does that affect our predictive maintenance program? So those are a lot of things for clients to think about when they come back.
Yeah, and also if you do have the opportunity to do some maintenance or do some projects while the facility's idle, something like hot work might be even more critical at that time.
Yeah, and that goes back to the active fire protection systems, right? One of the things that you touched on earlier is making sure that our sprinkler systems and all of our fire protection systems, fire alarm systems, right? Make sure those are all active. Fuel levels for diesel fire pumps or diesel generators, right? Making sure that we're keeping those. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, still have to be maintained and taken care of even though you're not on site.
Exactly, and I think being forward-looking on the maintenance, one thing, particularly if you're in a manufacturing industry, is to start thinking through how you're going to start up again and having safe startup. We see a lot of losses happen around startup of equipment, whether it be manufacturing equipment, you know, power equipment, whatever. To start thinking through, are the procedures in the right place? Are you going to have the right staffing? Because it's probably going to be restrictions because of social distancing on how many people you can have in a building. So it's not too early, even though it might be a bit before you start operating, to make sure you have your startup procedures in the right place.
Absolutely, Brian. One of the things I think of is retraining, right? I mean, depending on how long you're shut down or what's the employee turnover going to look like, are we going to have to retrain? What's our training going to look like? Not only from a safety perspective, but from just the equipment use perspective. So a lot of things to get about. It's not, oh, hey, you know, we're shut down for a month or shut down for 6 weeks. Boom, let's run in there and flip the switch and we're back operational. You know, the employee headcount, the retainment of knowledge, those types of things, those definitely play into effect as well.
Exactly.
So one of the other things I wanted to talk about, Brian, and it's really good because, you know, we have you on the phone from an insurance standpoint, insurance carrier standpoint, but I wanted to talk about NatCat events. So natural catastrophe events. What do you think of, or what are some of the things that we should share with our listeners and clients regarding, you know, hurricane season coming up and potentially preparing for those when you're not fully staffed or your emergency response team might not be in full force? So could you talk about that for a little bit? Just some of the NatCat exposures, because those don't go away.
Yeah, no, I think that's an extremely critical area. As I like to say, even though your facility is going idle, Mother Nature is not. You know, if the event's going to happen, it's going to happen whether you're up and operating or you're idle. And, you know, we've worked with our clients and our brokers for many years to say, where we've been successful on fire and equipment protection, you know, for generations, they can take that same concept in preventing losses to natural hazards. And this is no time to let the guard down. As you said, June 1st is the beginning of hurricane season. You know, we've already seen devastating tornadoes go through down in Jonesboro and Nashville areas, I believe. You know, spring flood season, we're just beginning now. So things are hail season right in the middle of that. So hopefully people, you know, the first step is to understand the hazards that expose your facilities. You know, there's plenty, if you don't know what you're exposed to, there's plenty of mapping available. You know, we have a bunch of the mapping available either in our data sheets or on our public websites to identify if you're in a hazard area. And hopefully you have a plan in place. You know, I'll speak, for example, to flood. You know, if you have a plan in place, you know, you're flood exposed and it causes, and part of that plan is to get stuff out of the yard. Part of that plan is to put, you know, certified barriers over doors and windows. You might want to do that now. You know, maybe you can get the protection in place if you're not going to be up and running for a while. So that, at least that component of your emergency response plan is already done. Same thing for windstorm. You know, is the flashing really nailed down on the roof of the facility? Do you typically put shutters up? Do you typically clear out the yard? Whatever the components of your plan are, since you may not have the people around when the storm is actually ready to hit, see what you can get ahead of the game. And maybe start implementing right now.
Yeah, Brian. And, you know, from an insurance perspective, you know, before storm season hits, we ask for a lot of that, right? And most of the clients do that. But this is a different time. So, you know, we might need to be doing this in advance, or this is a great time to take that opportunity to actually look through our plan, make sure that we can still implement that plan with either a reduced workforce or reduced hours or whatever that may be with the changing environment of the facility. But it's definitely something that needs to be addressed and thought of before it's too late.
Exactly. You know, we've shifted, since most of our field engineers can't make visits right now, we've shifted to a lot of remote engineering. And that's one of the things we won't stop doing is we typically, you know, say in the spring, do, you know, our windstorm and flood sort of pre-warning or pre-canvassing with clients who are exposed. We will continue. So your clients will get friendly reminders from us, and we're more than willing to talk to them and help them through what the plans are and what steps they can take.
And that's a perfect segue to the end, Brian, as I just wanted to talk about some of the things that not only FM Global, but any insurance carrier partner that a client has, what can you guys do to help? And I think we've mentioned a couple of the things already, but I think it just might be good to summarize here at the end, you know, what FM Global is doing for their clients to help them through this uncharted waters, and then, you know, lead them into the upcoming, the days and whatever is to come.
Well, essentially, you know, if it's an area, you know, you see areas of the world where China's actually just starting to ramp back up, where we can start getting out and do visits. The actual capability of doing visits elsewhere in the world is very limited. Although within the United States and Canada, we are trying to do our best on jurisdictional, particularly at like boilers, at hospitals and occupancies such as that, to try to get out and look at critical equipment. But in lieu of that, we've switched to this concept of remote servicing, where we'll essentially use any technology available, whether it be phone, you know, Zoom, you know, Microsoft Teams, whatever the best technology is to use to really be in contact with facilities, whether they be idle, whether it be particularly ones where the hazard is changing, you know, whether it be a ethanol facilities that are ramping up because, you know, everybody needs the alcohol for sanitizers, paper industry that, you know, has to look at perhaps extending the maintenance on major pieces of equipment because of the demand for tissue paper and, you know, corrugated for home delivery right now. So we're basically doing it virtually, you know, whether you want to use the term remotely or virtually. We're there. We will reach out where we think, you know, we'll prioritize trying to reach out to as many facilities as we can. But, you know, for our clients, shouldn't hesitate at all, be in contact with their field engineers, their account engineers, if they need assistance on anything related to loss prevention as a whole as we go through this period.
Awesome. Well, Brian, I think this has been great. Larry, I think this has been a very good call, and I'm hoping that our clients get bits and pieces out of it. But at the end of the day, just know that, you know, we're here to help from a broker and carrier perspective. And a lot of people haven't been through this before, so we can help out in hopefully multiple ways. The more eyes and ears, the better. And so, Brian, we just definitely appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today and providing value for all of our clients.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad I was able to do it.
Wow, Lucas, that was a really, really great call with Brian from FM Global. I appreciate all the great things, the great conversation the two of you had. You know, could you go through and maybe bullet point, what are a couple of key takeaways from this conversation?
Absolutely, Larry. Yeah, a couple of things for everybody to think about. It's just safely shutting down the facility, protect your people, protect your property. Look into the housekeeping. A lot of opportunities in the housekeeping area. when your facility is shut down to keep the facility safe. Active fire protection systems, I can't emphasize that enough. Facility security, right? Very important to be doing rounds or whatever you need to do to keep your facility safe. Look into your maintenance. Don't lose track of your maintenance during the shutdown, and look for ways to get better during the shutdown. That's another key improvement. And then start focusing on how you're going to get the facility up and running again. So I agree, Larry. Great call today. Super excited to have Brian on the phone, and it was awesome, and hopefully all the listeners take advantage of it.
Thank you so much, Lucas. If anyone has any questions at all, please don't hesitate to contact your Lockton representative or your FM Global representative.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for joining us on Everyday Risk. We look forward to talking to you again soon.